وكلمة الله هي العليا والله عزيز حكيم.
The Ascendant Quran, realigning man to the divine power culture. The first ever tafsir written directly in English by one of the best known Quran scholars in North America, Imam Muhammad Al-Asi. Three volumes of this multi-volume tafsir are now available from Crescent International at a special price of $40 per volume, including shipping anywhere in North America.
The noble messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is revered and loved by all Muslims. But there is one aspect of his blessed life that is not well known. And that is the treaties he entered into, as well as the letters he wrote to kings and rulers of neighboring countries. For the first time, this book, Power Manifestations of the Seerah, examining the letters and treaties of the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, discusses this crucial topic in detail. The book is now available at a special price of $30, including shipping and handling anywhere in North America. Order from Crescent International, P.O. Box 747, Gormley, Ontario, L0H1G0, or call us 905-887-8913. Order your copy today.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Respected ulama, honorable guests, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. On behalf of the Institute of Contemporary Islamic Thought and Crescent International, allow me to add my voice of welcome also to all our guests who have come to participate in this conference on a personality who is well known to most of us for his great contributions that he has made. Imam Khomeini's personality is multidimensional, and I'm sure that our honorable speakers, highly qualified, are going to shed light on the various dimensions of his personality. The time that I have at my disposal, I would like to touch upon one or two aspects of his life. As Ambassador Javed pointed out, Imam Khomeini played a great role in the revival of Islam and in fact reversed the trend of history, which was going towards secularization of all societies, including Muslim societies. But before I say further, I would like to add one or two observations about the Imam's life which are very striking. Imam Khomeini was naturally a very faithful follower of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was from the family of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you look at his personal life, he named his children after the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his son Mustafa and Ahmad. And then when you look at his life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shaped it in such a way that just like the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to go into exile from his place of birth in Makkah and went to Medina to establish the Islamic state, Imam Khomeini had to go into exile, and when he returned, just like the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived for 10 years in Medina when the Islamic state was established, the Imam Khomeini lived for 10 years after the Islamic state was established. And you see other parallels. In the second year of the establishment of the Islamic state in Medina, the Kuffar launched their attack against the Islamic state, and the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to participate in wars until the ninth year of the Hijrah, which means for a total of 8 years. And you look at the Islamic Republic of Iran, it was attacked in the second year of its establishment, And the war of confederacy of Kufr lasted against the Islamic Republic for a total of 8 years. You see these parallels, which are divine in origin, which have nothing to do with human effort or human responsibility. And so it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who was guiding the Imam and his effort in this world, because he wanted to show to the world that the Imam had come to revive Islam and to restore Islam to its true role in the world. An aspect of the Imam which I'm afraid many of us have not appreciated fully is his ijtihad on the Islamic government and the concept of Walayat-e-Faqih. You know, we are all products of our circumstances and history. Most of us become the prisoners of history. But there are others who, by their effort, by their imagination and struggle, change the course of history. And Imam Khomeini actually changed the course of history. In doing so, he had to face three challenges in the world. One was the backlog of history, Islamic history. The second was the backlog of theology. And the third was to overthrow an oppressive, powerful, tyrannical regime in Iran. We know from our history that differences between Muslims emerged in the early part of their history over the question of succession to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And two major trends among the Muslims emerged. The two groups that we popularly know as Sunnis and Shias, these trends actually took different trajectories in the course of their history. Let me refer to one group as the accommodationist group, the Sunnis, and the other, the rejectionist group, the Shias. Now we know from our history, if we follow our history carefully, that once Khilafah was turned into Mulukiya, then a great deal of political thought emerged to justify the imposition of Mulukiya. And you read, when you read classical scholars like Al-Mawardi, Imam Ghazali, Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Jama'ah, and so on, you constantly find that they were seeking justification for something that was inherently un-Islamic. Deviation of these rulers from the path laid by the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and followed by the Khulafa ar-Rashidun. These scholars constantly enjoined what we call nasiha and ta'awun, which means advising the rulers and cooperation with the rulers, which ultimately led to justifying tyranny, because these scholars felt that if the Muslims were to rise up against these rulers, it would lead to chaos in society, it would lead to fitna. And unfortunately, this argument is even today being used in various parts of the world by so-called Muslim scholars to keep their Muslim masses docile so that they should not rebel against oppressive rulers. On the other hand, we had the Shia scholars who developed the theology that in the absence of the 12th Imam, that all worldly authority was illegitimate. What this did was that it left the world in the hands of oppressors and tyrants. So you had, on the one hand, Sunni scholars trying to justify tyrants, and on the other hand, the Shia scholars shunning away from worldly affairs and leaving, again, leading to the same result. It was in this atmosphere that the Imam's ijtihad on Islamic government comes like a breath of fresh air. The Imam actually reversed 1,000 years of Shia theology. And those of us who were born in the Sunni tradition have unfortunately not appreciated this fact. Because the Imam's ijtihad on Islamic government and the role of the Wali-e-Faqih has brought Shia theology to exactly where Sunni theology had been. And this is one of the great attributes and great qualities of the Imam, that he brought the Muslims closer together. And I'm sure you are aware that There was great resistance from some of the traditional ulamas, Shia scholars, to the Imam's ijtihad, and this is now, of course, becoming more vocal in the Islamic Republic when questions about the role of the Waliyya Faqih and the authority that he has are being raised. Questions which, of course, are striking at the very root of Islamic government, and it is something that Muslims have to be careful about. But to emphasize the importance of the Imam's ijtihad, let me illustrate it by one or two quick points. We, as Muslims, are used to praying our salat in a certain way. Some of us pray with our hands folded, others pray with our hands down. Now, both of them are quite valid, but if you ask those who pray with their hands folded not to pray with their hands folded, they find it very difficult. It's a ritual. It's a simple practice. Your prayer would still be valid, and yet we find it so difficult to overcome in our own mind psychologically to do this simple thing. And here was Imam Khomeini asking the ulama, the Shia ulama, to reverse 1,000 years of theology. 1,000 years of theology, he said, set it aside. Even in the absence of the 12th Imam, it is the duty and the responsibility of the ulama to strive to establish an Islamic government and not to leave the affairs of the world in the hands of tyrants and oppressors. When we come to his confronting the regime, the Shah's regime was not weak. It was powerful. It had wealth. It had massive weapons, it had a strong army, and so on. It was backed by the US and their propaganda. And yet, the Imam inspired the people of Iran to rise up against them. It was the triumph of blood over bullets. And the Shah's army was drowned in the blood of the Shuhada of Iran. This is the great contribution that the Imam made to the struggle of the Muslims. And even after the revolution, as we know, the Islamic Republic had to struggle to defend the revolution. Let me touch upon one other aspect which the Imam brought forth and made the Muslims aware of, and that was the significance of Hajj in mobilizing the Muslim Ummah, discussing the issues that confront the Muslim Ummah, as well as bringing unity among Muslims. You know, all of us are used to performing our Hajj in a very ritualistic way. And it was the Imam who reminded all of us to say that Hajj is not simply a ritual, but it is something more important than that, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself in the noble Quran in Surah At-Tawbah has commanded to do certain things. In Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوْزُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَأَذَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ إِلَى النَّاسِ يَوْمَ الْحَجِّ الْأَكْبَرِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ بَرِيٌّ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَرَسُولُهُ. Allah says to the noble messenger of Allah, you go and proclaim openly. Openly, it was not a hidden declaration. An open azan means to declare. As you go for azan, you have the azan, which is a call for prayers. Allah says, go and declare openly that Allah and his messenger, and he said, open, declare this to the masses at the time of Hajj. At the time of Hajj. Declare openly to them that Allah and his messenger declare their total dissociation from the kuffar and the mushrikeen. Imam Khomeini emphasized that this declaration should be made at the time of Hajj because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to do so. And today you have these court ulama who come and say, no, 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 you mustn't do this. You are bringing politics into Hajj. Or you are depriving Muslims of the benefits and the blessings of Hajj. And Imam Khomeini challenged them and he said, what greater blessings can Muslims ask for if they go in the house of Allah and they proclaim their dissociation from the mushrikeen and the kuffar, the present day tyrants, America, Russia, Israel, and so on, these tyrannical powers that exist in the world, that you go and openly declare your dissociation from them. He said, what other blessings you are asking for? If you deprive the Muslims of this blessing, then Hajj becomes meaningless. And in one of his most moving speeches, he gave many speeches about Hajj. The Imam exhorted the Muslims as he said, you should perform your Hajj the way Imam Hussein performed his Hajj. From his ihram for Hajj, he put on the ihram for harb, for warfare, when he went to Karbala. He said, as you go and you perform your tawaf of the house, of the Kaaba, you progress towards performing your tawaf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, when you go and you perform your wuzu with the waters of Zamzam, you proceed to perform your ghusl of shahada. And he said, when you proceed to purify your nafs, you perform your jihad bil nafs, you should proceed to prepare yourself to perform jihad against the mushrikeen and the kuffar. This was the message that the Imam delivered to the Muslims. And he constantly exhorted them to think of the Muslim Ummah, the people who are being oppressed in Palestine, in Al-Quds, in Kashmir, in Afghanistan, in other places of the world. And he urged Muslims to rise above their petty differences and come together. Let me finally talk about the example of leadership that the Imam presented to the Muslim Ummah. You know, the qualities of a good leader are that he convinces other people of his own greatness. This is what the qualities of a good leader are. But the qualities of a great leader are that he inspires ordinary people to perform great functions. This is what the Imam did. He brought out the best in the people of Iran. The same people who had gone so far down the line of secularization, down the line of westernization, that Iran was supposed to be a lost cause. And yet these very people, and I must add for my sisters, that the Imam constantly enjoined upon the sisters to join the struggle with their brothers shoulder to shoulder. He said, without the sisters, we will not be able to bring the revolution. And we urge our sisters to join the struggle, to join the Islamic movement, because they are part of the Islamic movement. The Islamic movement is incomplete without the participation of our sisters. And this was the Imam who inspired mothers, who inspired daughters to go willingly, to go and court martyrdom and sacrifice thousands of women for the sake of the Islamic revolution. This is the quality of leadership that we aspire for. This is the quality of leadership that we are looking forward to. And you see, the Imam, unlike any other ruler in the Muslim world, he led a very simple and humble life. He did not occupy any of the palaces vacated by the Shah. You look around the world, even in Muslim countries, whenever one oppressor is removed, the next one comes and he occupies the same palace. He goes for the same trappings of power. The Imam didn't do anything like that. He lived in a very simple house. He was very humble. He had taqwa. Whenever he spoke softly. He addressed the mustadafin of the world. And he did not speak and address only the Muslims. He even addressed the non-Muslims of the world. He spoke about the all the oppressed people in the world, whether they were in Africa or Asia or any other part of the world. That is the quality of a true leader. And like the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Imam never compromised on his principles, whether it was during the year of the revolution or afterwards. You know, when we look at history, we find, and we look at our own history, it was Imam Ali Karamallahu Wajhu who had pointed out that zuhd is not that you don't own anything of the world. Zuhd is that nothing of the world owns you. That you don't live in this world as if you're going to live here forever. Now you look at the example of Imam Khomeini, the man who did not miss a single tahajjud prayers in 55 years, who was deeply spiritual, but his spirituality was in the service of politics, and his politics were in the service of humanity. Not for his personal glory. When he passed away, he did not leave anything behind. 4 million people had welcomed the Imam when he arrived in Tehran in January of 1979. In June of 1989, when he passed away, more than 10 million people participated to say farewell to the Imam. This is the quality of greatness. This is the quality of leadership that we are looking for. And I hope and pray, inshallah, that we can understand something from that message and take it to heart, because he always gave a message of hope, a message of courage, and a message of inspiration. This is the message that we are looking for. This is the guidance that we are looking for. And this is the sunnah and the seerah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وَكَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا وَاللَّهُ
The Ascendant Quran, Realigning Man to the Divine Power Culture. The first ever tafsir written directly in English by one of the best known Quran scholars in North America, Imam Muhammad Al-Asi. Three volumes of this multi-volume tafsir are now available from Crescent International at a special price of $40 per volume, including shipping anywhere in North America.
The Noble Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is revered and loved by all Muslims. But there is one aspect of his blessed life that is not well known. And that is the treaties he entered into, as well as the letters he wrote to kings and rulers of neighboring countries. For the first time, this book, Power Manifestations of the Seerah, examining the letters and treaties of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, discusses this crucial topic in detail. The book is now available at a special price of $30, including shipping and handling anywhere in North America. Order from Crescent International, P.O. Box 747, Gormley, Ontario, L0H1G0. Or call us 905-887-8913. Order your copy today.